Brother Benson's about a year and a half ago, 2 years. And Brother Piet called me up and said, "Hey, would you come back to my church?" I said, "Man, I've only been waiting for you to ask that for 5 years." And so that made my day. And I have been looking forward to here coming for quite a long time. And appreciate you folks, new faces, old faces, pretty faces, ugly faces. We're glad to see everybody. Amen. And some of these kids that are now teenagers were, amen, just little brats when I was here last time. And growing up. Amen. I do want to pray for my wife. My wife is in severe pain with her back and arm and neck. I had her to the chiropractor 4 times while we were up in Nova Scotia. Just a severe pain. If she doesn't smile, it's not because she's not happy. It's just because she's in a lot of pain. And this arm is numb. Feeling's all gone. And I'm flying her Wednesday to Melody. We thought the surgery was going to be on Thursday so I could get her there a day before. And then they changed it to Tuesday because of the seriousness of this surgery and having a baby and everything. So she's going to get down there Wednesday after the surgery, but Jimmy will be with her for the surgery. Then she'll stay there with Melody through her pregnancy until the baby comes. And so we need your prayers. We're going through some trials and some times right now, and she needs your prayers with this arm. We just need God to touch her and relieve her of all this pain. And so you pray for her. She does ice and what's that other stuff you do? Ibuprofen. And if any of you have Jack Daniels, we'll take some of that. I can't go buy it anymore, but if you got some, a good shot of that before she went to bed, she wouldn't feel nothing. Amen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18. I'd rather God do it. We're looking to God to do it. Genesis chapter 18. Boy, I got so many messages I want to preach in these few days. Amen. We might have to have some morning services so I can get through all these messages. But I'm excited about being here. I hope you can see that. And we're excited about what God's going to do these few days. In Genesis chapter 18, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 and then go over to verse 9. The Bible said, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door." Am I on? Okay. "And bowed himself toward the ground." Let's go to verse 9. "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said to Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Let's go to chapter 21. Stay there, your hand there, but go to 21. "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him." I want to go back to chapter 18 and verse 14, and I want to preach on that thought. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Every one of us would say, no, there's nothing too hard for God until we have a problem. Or until we're faced with a situation. Then all of a sudden it seems like that's too hard for God. I'm reminded in the book of Jeremiah, when Jeremiah said, "Oh Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You know, God created this universe. I want to say to you, friend, that evolution is wrong and it's not of God. And Darwin, who was the creator of evolution, has now learned the real truth. As he is in hell, and I'm sure he knows now that what he said and what he taught was wrong. There was not a big bang. There was a big God. Amen. Amen. And with his voice, he spoke all this universe into existence. I was up in Nova Scotia, and Rich Azad lives out in the country. I mean, no city lights, no street lights, just country. Dark, dark country at night. Boy, we went home from church one night, and it was one of them evenings where there wasn't a cloud in the sky. I mean, I looked up in the sky, and it's like you could see into the third and fourth heavens. So many stars. And I got the girls around me there, his daughters. I said, now, how far you reckon that closest star is? And of course, they didn't know. They were Christian school kids. Just kidding. I taught Christian school 14 years. I said, young ladies, I said, if you paid one penny per mile and you could get on a rocket, you know what it would cost you to go to the nearest star at one penny a mile? And they said, how much? I said, $260 million. Can you imagine what great universe that God made? And you know, they don't say the stars are by miles. They compare stars by light years. Amen. That's how big this God is. I was arguing with a Pentecostal one time about losing your salvation. And I said, look, God said we are in His hand. And no man is able to pluck me out of my Father's hand. And I got to thinking, did you ever think how big God's hand was? Well, God's hand, the Bible said, all the waters of the earth was in the palm of His hand. Could you imagine with a hand that big? Well, you couldn't even find yourself to get out of a hand that big, much less crawl out. I tell you, we serve an awesome God. We serve a great big God. And I tell you, I looked at the stars that night, and I told them girls, I said, somebody said that the stars are the floor, amen, are cracks. Let's see, I'm going to go say that. Are what? Gnaholes, that's the word. Are gnaholes in the floor of heaven. Did you ever think of that? As those stars twinkle. I mean, you think of it on this side. What do you imagine it's like on the other side? Well, I'm telling you, God is a wonderful God. And I'm glad that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. I want to say, number one, this morning, that God never made a promise that He couldn't keep. Thank God. Amen. Now, y'all help me a little bit. This is going to be, you're waiting for me to lower the boom on you. And I'm not going to this morning, I'm going to wait till tonight. I'm trying to be a blessing to you this morning. God never made a promise that He couldn't keep. We're surrounded by men and people that make promises to us and then never keep them. I mean, we got two men tonight who say they are coming tonight. I hope they come. But if they don't, it won't surprise me because I know how man is. Men are liars. And they'll tell you they'll come just to get you off their back, but they ain't coming. And I hope they come because I want to preach to them. There was a group of an organization that I believe they might try to be bouncing back called the Promise Keepers. But you know what they found out? They couldn't keep a promise. There's only one Promise Keeper, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for this Word of God. Amen. And of course, when I speak about the Bible, I'm talking about the KJV. Not the NIV, the RSV, or the HIV, but the KJV. Amen. This is the book. Someone said that God made, there's 3,876 direct promises from God to man in that book. And I want you to know what I believe. I believe you can claim every one of them. Amen. You say, well, that doesn't go to us and that doesn't fit us. I'm going to tell you, if your piece of your Bible don't fit you, take a knife and cut it out. But I believe every bit of that Bible, amen, is for me. And if I see a promise in Deuteronomy, I'm going to grab onto it. If I see one in the book of Psalm, I'm going to grab onto it. If I see one in John, I'm going to grab onto it. Because I believe that whole book and the promises that God's given us are for us. I looked up the word, amen, in the dictionary. And here's what a promise is. A legally binding declaration that gives the person to whom it is made a right to expect or claim the act. I'm going to tell you something, friend. God has given us a promise, and the promises that He's given us, we can depend on them, we can claim them, we can believe that they're for us. Amen. I think of the promise He gave us of His presence. He said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. What a promise. Anybody here dumb enough, raise your hand and say, well, God left me, God forsook me. No, there ain't nobody that dumb. Amen. Because God's never left you. God's never forsaken you. In your sickness, God's been there. God's been there to help you and to bless you. And others in here that have sicknesses and bad health, even my wife, God has never let her down, has never let me down. He's always been there when I need Him. When I cried unto Him, hey, He heard my cry. And when I've cried unto Him, He's answered my prayers. Amen. I'm glad there's not a promise, amen, that He can't keep. The promise of His peace. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Man, aren't you glad for peace this morning? That peace that passeth all understanding. That peace down in your heart that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know. You've got a home in heaven. Well, I'm glad you're excited about that. I told my wife, I said, look here. If I die on the road, just put my body on top of that car out there, wrap me up tight, and take me to Lebanon. Amen. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not going to be in that body. All that's going to be just an old carcass that the worms are going to eat up. Worm food, that's all you are. The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. The worms play pinochle on your snout. Amen. I told her, I said, my funeral, I've made some requests. And you better get your ticket early for my funeral because there's going to be a lot of people there to see if she does it. Because I told my wife, I said, I don't want laid out in a casket. I want set up. Prop me up. 3/4 of the way. Prop me up. I said, I don't want them gluing my mouth shut. I haven't had my mouth shut since I got saved. And I don't want it shut in the casket. Amen. I want them to see my teeth. Put a smile on my face. Put a King James Bible in my hand. I said, if you want to leave my eyes open, help yourself. That's kind of bad. But I said, if you want to, go ahead. I'd like to have a tape recorder set behind me and somebody push a button. Hello, this is Brother Drummond. Good to see you. I knew you'd be in church sooner or later. Amen. I'll tell you, I am not going to be there. I'm going to be on the other side. Amen. Looking down, making sure you do what I request. Amen. Say, our funeral director won't let me. Oh, yes, he will. Or don't pay him what he wants. Amen. I'm telling you, I thank God. I have the peace of God. When you hear Rick Drummond's died, don't you believe a word of it. I'll be more alive in heaven than I was ever alive here on this earth. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. I'm going. I'm excited about that. I'll tell you what. Hey, if you're lost here this morning, to be absent from the body is to be present in hellfire. But for us that are saved, it's to be present with the Lord. I thank God, amen, for the promise of His comfort. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I remember when we went into this war with Afghanistan and bin Laden and then Saddam and Iraq. That Americans, plenty of them, feared about the war. They said, Saddam will send a big bomb over here and blow us all up. Well, I got to thinking about that. Let's say he could throw a big bomb over here. Let's say when it hit, we did all die. Wouldn't that be like a rapture? That'd be fine with me. Bring it on, big boy. Problem is, the United States got something that'll knock that down before it even gets out of country over there. Amen. But I'm telling you, I thank God that I've got the peace of God in my heart. I'm not worried about Saddam. No, he's dead. And he's in hell. I said he's in hell. You heard about him going up to heaven there and at the gate of St. Peter. And man, he's standing there. Out from the back comes George Washington. And George Washington just smacks the fire out of him, knocks him down. He gets back up, shakes himself off. So what's that all about? Thomas Jefferson come around the other end and wham, knocked him down. And man, I don't like this. Patrick Henry come around and wham, knocked him down again. And Saddam says, I want to know where my virgins are. And Peter said, oh, you had that wrong. That wasn't virgins. That was Virginians. Amen. Give it to him. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, my heart's not troubled. I know, listen to me, I believe God has it all under control. I'm not worried about this election. Even though I am preaching, if you vote for Hillary, you ain't got a brain. You say you shouldn't preach separation of church and state. Don't you believe in all that? Yeah, I do. I believe in separation of church and state. I believe the state ought to get their nose out of our business. Amen. They ain't got no business telling the church what to do. The church was here before the state ever was here. Say amen. I'm already campaigning for 08. Amen. I won't tell you how to vote. I'll just tell you, vote for the Republican of your choice. If you vote for a Democrat, you're lame. Amen. Amen. Who'd vote for Barack? A boom, boom, boom. Amen. Sucker went to school in terrorist training camps. What would we do with a Muslim as president after they knocked down our Twin Towers? Ooh, don't you get me started there. Man, if I was the president of the United States, I got some things I'd do. Amen. I'd nuke everybody. Everybody but Israel. Amen. I'd nuke the rest of them. If there's a towel on their head, they ought to be dead. I've said that since 9-1-1. I'll say it to the day I die. If I was president, there wouldn't be a deficit in this country. Amen. All that money we owe people, I'd write it all off. Sorry. Too bad. You're beat. We'll live on our own imports. We won't export. We'll just live with what we grow here. We'll kill our cattle and eat our own cattle. We won't have to worry about mad disease coming from Canada. We won't let it in. I'm about to preach. Amen. Amen. You watch out. You're in a hot spot. I'm liable to grab something in a minute. Amen. I'll tell you. Amen. I'll tell you what. I'd support Israel. That's my foreign affairs. Israel gets help. Everybody else gets nuked. And when they glow in the dark, you shoot them. Where you at? You with me? Say amen. I'd have my budget. Everybody pays 10%. Everybody. And if a man don't work, neither shall he eat. Flip all this welfare business. Amen. Amen. And you say, well, there's not enough jobs because women's have a lot of the jobs. Well, I'll tell you what, then woman, you take a seat back in your house where you're supposed to be, and we'll let the man have your job. Amen, preacher, you're right. You're right. You're right. Woo! Well, I wasn't going to rail, but I did, didn't I? It's supposed to be a glory message. Tell you what, bless God, I thank God for His comfort. Amen. Thank God for the providence of God. He said all things work together for good. How many things?
All.
How many?
All.
That means that flat tire? That means that fender bender? That means MS? Hello? All things work together for good. Means a bad back, bad neck, pain. Oh, I'd love to take her pain. Amen. But I'm telling you what, I'm not mad at God for any of this. Amen. Because all things work together for good. He said, in everything, give thanks. Everything, give thanks. We need to practice that. Giving God thanks when, oh, it's easy, thank God, when it's going good. But when the bottom falls out, what you going to do then? You're supposed to thank Him. Amen. And I'm thankful for His providence. Hey, thank God for, amen, the promise of His wisdom. Here's what the Bible says. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. My preacher was a flunky in high school. He received his high school diploma in the principal's office. That's where he spent most of his time. When he got out of high school, he got saved and decided to go to Bible college. Well, you're a flunky in high school, you're going to be a flunky in college. And sure enough, he was flunking his first year of Bible college when he come across that verse in James. And he said he went to the altar and laid that verse open to God and said, God, you said if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. And I'm dumb, and I need some wisdom, God. Would you give me wisdom?
Yes, thank you.
And Brother Jones finished 4 years later at the top of his class at Bible college and is a very, amen, educated man in the not only the things of the world, but that Bible. And it all came down to a verse. I tell teenagers, I was talking to some teenagers one day, and I said, how many of you are dumb? And have them raise their hand. I said, well, if you ask God for wisdom, He'll give it to you. And I went to a girl, I said, what is your hardest subject that you're having trouble with? I was thinking, math. She said, French. And I said, French? And she said, yeah, I'm having a hard time with French. I said, look, girl, God don't even know French. Just forget about it. Amen. And I thank God for His cleansing. Because if we confess our sin, what? He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, do you sin every day? Then you confess it every day. And you don't get, don't do this. Don't pray, oh God, forgive me of my sin. That will not get the job done. You sin in particular, you confess in particular. If you had a bad thought, you confess, God, I had a bad thought, and here's what the bad thought was. If you stole something, you tell God you stole something. This business, amen, God does want to forgive sin, but you're going to have to tell Him what you did to get forgiveness. Amen, amen, amen. God never made a promise He couldn't keep. I'm going to say number two to you this morning, that God never encountered a problem that He couldn't solve. God never encountered a problem that He couldn't solve. Someone said that when God is going to do something wonderful, He starts with a difficulty. When God is going to do something miraculous, He starts with an impossibility. You know, you might want to be careful praying for a miracle. Because in praying for a miracle means that God has to have you in an impossible situation. I tell you, God faced some big time problems, amen, in this Old Testament. You think about it. He needed to get 2 million Jews away from the pursuing Egyptians. And so He brought them right up to the brink of the Red Sea. Almost 2 million people. And the Bible said that they crossed in one evening. Somebody who's a mathematician, a lot smarter than me, said that for 2 million people to cross a body of water in one evening would take a path 5 miles wide. Could you imagine what that looked like? 2.5 miles of water banked up that side. 2.5 miles of water banked up that side. And it said the children of Israel crossed on dry ground. And then there's no doubt that Pharaoh is the dumbest man that ever lived. God had just put 10 plagues on him. And he gets out there and he sees them going across this dry land. And he yells, charge! I'm going to tell you something. If I'd been Pharaoh's army, that's one time I'd said, Bud, look here. I'm going back to my wife. She's grieving over this lost firstborn of ours. And I've done saw what God can do. And I'm not going out there. But no, all of Pharaoh's army went out there. And I know we've all seen the movie Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston and Yul Brynner and all them people. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Hollywood can never get it right. And when that last Israelite stepped up, amen, on that shore, that body of water, amen, came back and drowned everyone, including Pharaoh. They all drowned in the Red Sea. And you say, oh, Israel should have cried about that. You know what they did? They wrote a song and rejoiced and danced, amen, and sang. Amen. Now there's Pharaoh floating on the sea, dead, dead as he can be. Woo! I just wrote that. That's a pretty good one, babe. Hey, when he needed to quench their thirst in a barren desert, he brought forth water from a rock. You've never seen that. And then the New Testament, you know what it said? That rock was Christ. And what? It followed them. Can you imagine them? Here they are 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And they've just got them a good rock drink, amen, from the water from the rock. And here they are. And they get thirsty again. They look back. And there's that rock. Oh, where'd that? I thought that was. 2 days ago, it's just our imagination. I bet they was walking like this. Hey, look there, boys. Somebody said that's the first Rolling Stone in the Bible. Amen. Hey, when he needed to feed them, he sent manna from heaven. When he needed to convince a nation that Baal was a hoax and he was real, he sent fire from heaven. Think, when he needed a Savior to save the world, he created a baby in Mary, a virgin. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, and by the way, Mary was the only woman that ever conceived supernaturally. Mary's mother was not conceived supernaturally. Mary herself was not conceived supernaturally. I don't care what the Catholics say. They've had that wrong from the very beginning. Amen. Amen. Jesus was birthed, only one ever birthed, supernaturally by the Holy Ghost of God. And he had to be for him to wash away our sins. Because that baby gets their blood from the Father. Amen. And this is a great example. Because, see, if Jesus would have been born of Mary and Joseph, he'd had Joseph's blood. But because he was born of Mary and the Holy Ghost, he had God's blood. And God's blood was perfect blood. Amen. Without spot and without blemish. And that makes the whole thing make sense in the Bible. God did send a Redeemer into this world, Jesus Christ, through a woman birthed supernaturally. Think about when Jesus came on the scene. I mean, we sang about it. Somebody had a hobbling problem, he touched them. Someone was blind, he gave them their sight. He turned water into wine. Amen. And that was not Mogan David. It was a pure grape juice, amen, that was not, amen, alcoholic. In case any of you, well, a little wine for my stomach's sake. No, that's talking about, and I'll tell you, grape juice, pure grape juice is good for your stomach. But Mogan David wouldn't be, amen. That's good preaching. I mean, even dead folk Jesus raised from the dead. I mean, we're given a count of three, and I like this. There was a 12-year-old girl that speaks of a child. There was a young man that speaks of a teenager. And there was an adult, Lazarus, which speaks of an adult. And anytime someone's raised from the dead, that's a picture, amen, of passing from death unto life. A picture of salvation. So can children be saved? Oh, yes. Can teenagers be saved? You betcha. Can adults be saved? Thank God. I was preaching to Jim Kopacheski's over in Hamlin, New York. And a man come up the altar, 89-year-old man, pulling a cane. Barely made it up front. I just thought he'd come to pray. I went over to him and said, what you praying about? He said, brother, I'm lost.
I need to be saved.
I said, I'll go back to your seat, old timer. No, man, we knelt down right there, amen, and called upon the Lord, amen. I thank God, God could save. I seen your bulletin, you got Brother Spurgeon coming in 2 weeks. Wow, you believe God can save anybody? Take a look at him, man. What a work God did on that old boy, amen. And if God can do that for Spurgeon, he can do that for you. Hey, he can do that for your friends of yours, amen, your brother and that buddy that's lost and on dope. I tell you, God can, I tell you, God can deliver from dope. God can deliver from the Pope, amen. God can deliver from alcohol. God can deliver, amen, you from cigarettes. God can deliver you from pornography. God can deliver you from anything in the world. There is nothing, no problem, too hard for God. I want you to do this. I want you to put your problem in this sentence. All right? Now, how many of you have problems? Raise your hand. Mine's up. Oh, everybody, good. Now, I want you to put your problem in this sentence. Is blank, put it right in there, too hard for the Lord? Is, slip it in there. Close your eyes, think of that problem, slip it in there. Too hard for the Lord. You know, the only thing that limits God from doing things is us. Our unbelief, amen. I'm going to tell you something. You say, my problem's financial. Oh, that's a piece of cake for God. He owns everything. He can take care of your financial needs. I remember back in 1985. When did we? 1990. 1990, I stepped out by faith into evangelism. Gave up my salary. Took my wife and family on the road. Didn't know what we was going to make. Still don't know what we're going to make. Just out there living by faith. Amen. I increased my missions as high. Amen. My missions kept going up. Amen. My faith kept increasing. And I tell you, for 17 years out here on these roads, going from church to church, God has met every need, supplied everything for us. Amen. I have had need of nothing. Matter of fact, most of my wants He's given me. What a great God, I say. Your financial things ain't nothing for God. Just get on God's side of that thing. Tithe. Give to missions. And then watch God put it all on you. Amen. I'll tell you what, you say, my problem's physical. Hey, there's nothing too hard for God. If God wants to heal you, He can like that. All He has to do is think it, and you'll never have a problem again. Another crippled lady back here, all God has to do is say, healed, you're done. Amen. Hey, Benny Hinn is not the healer. People sending thousands of dollars. We have a cousin that this man took his daddy out to see Benny Hinn, had some sickness, he even got in the healing line. I said, well, great. I said, then your daddy's healed. He said, no. Well, why ain't your daddy healed? Well, Daddy didn't have the faith. I said, stupid, that is not what they teach. They teach that Benny Hinn can heal anybody of anything. Now, it just showed that he's a liar. And they paid thousands of dollars to get this amen stance with Benny Hinn. Had a preacher friend of mine down in Kentucky. We had a boy in Ohio. His name was Leroy Jenkins. He was the pastor of the church of What's Happening Now. That's the name of the church. And he'd have these healing crusades. And so this preacher decided he had a Vietnam injury. And he thought, well, we'll just go see this idiot and see what he says. So he got in the healing line. And he got through that healing line and got up there and said, yes, sir, I got a Vietnam injury and my fingers won't operate right. And so this guy says, heal. And this guy looked at his arm and said, no, sir, I'm not healed. And a man put a gun in his back. And he said, this man, Leroy, said, you's healed. And the preacher said, yep, you're right. It's feeling a whole lot better. Whole lot better. See, there was a boy on a stretcher back by where they were sitting. And they started yelling out, hey, come back, lift this boy up off this stretcher. We'll believe what you're doing. Man, three men grabbed them and escorted them out and threw them out in the street. And they got up and they said, we thought this was Christian. That guy said, who said anything about Christian? Hey. I'm telling you, they're a bunch of fakes. Amen, but there's one. Amen, who sits on the throne of God. Amen, who can touch and can heal. If it is God's will, He can do it. Amen. I had a baby that was 6 months old. I probably told this before 6 years ago when I was here, but some of you are new. And my daughter had cancer, a tumor the size of a golf ball, a six-month-old baby, just a little older, and watch this. And I'm telling you, they found that tumor, and they said, this is bad. And that doctor who'd been a surgeon for 23 years with children said he'd never seen anything like this in a child. And they went in there and did a little surgery, and we took her back, and it had grown back. And he, man, they operated. He come out. He said, I got as much of it as could. It was wrapped around the main artery of the arm, and I couldn't get all of it, but we got what we could. And I said, well, just be honest with me. He said, well, it looks like your daughter probably has a year to live. I'm telling you what, when he said those words, we went in, amen, the fire. And we were down there in that fire, and boy, I couldn't look at my baby without crying and thinking of carrying a casket to the graveyard. And we were taking her to the hospital, and they said, we want you to come back Thursday. We found a little vein. We want to start chemotherapy in a six-month-old baby's hand. And all they wanted me to do was go up and sign the papers. That Wednesday, Brother Jones said, the men go downstairs. And we went downstairs, and we began to pray. And a guy prayed out, oh, God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And hey, God fell on that prayer meeting there. There's sometimes God falls, it makes you happy and you want to dance. There's other times it makes you want to hide. And my desk was there. I crawled up in my desk. I looked around as men were getting under chairs and just hiding from that Shekinah glory of God as God was saying, what's your request? And I said, God, if it's your will, and only if it's your will, I know that you can heal my daughter. But if my daughter is going to grow up to hate you and not be in church and don't want anything to do with you, then it'd be better, God, that you take her now as a baby, because I know, Lord, I'd see her again. About that time, the Holy Ghost, listen, I didn't see a 900-foot Jesus like Oral Roberts did. I didn't hear voices from the other side. But in my heart, the Holy Ghost said, your baby's okay. I went to Brother Jones to tell him. Brother Jones was walking to me. He held up his hand. I said, what is it, preacher? He said, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart, said, your baby's okay. We took our baby up there Thursday. I had to go upstairs and sign these papers. The doctor walked out. He said, I believe God's performed a miracle. Take your baby home. That baby's 29 years old today. She's in church playing the piano, singing solos, serving God. Amen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And I'm going to tell you, as far as your mate is concerned, God can send you the one that He wants you to have if you'll wait on Him. You girls in here, some of you teenagers, I know what you're thinking. Have you seen the boys we got to pick from here? They're all a bunch of nerds. We are working nursery and changing real babies. And these boys are out in the parking lot, bang, bang, bang. What in God's name are we going to do? I've told teenagers this. I have my own youth camps now. Brother Mark and Gay, he and me are in 2 weeks of youth camp that we started together. And I preach at Teen Thunders and Teen Lightnings in Canada. And I've preached anywhere I preach to young people, man, I want to preach. And so I told them girls, and I told them, I said, look, if God has to put your mate in a helicopter and send it over your city and drop it out, God's able to. I got an email about 2 months ago. This girl wrote me, said, Brother Drummond, God brought my helicopter by. Amen. God can do a whole lot more than we give Him credit for. I mean, we say we believe God. We say amen that God can do anything. Then we worry about it. And then we try to work it out ourselves. God tells us to leave it all at the altar. But we keep picking it up and keep trying to work it out instead of just let God have it and let God's will be done. I'm going to say the last thing. I'm ready to eat. I'm hungry. I'm going to say God never made a promise He couldn't keep. God never encountered a problem He couldn't solve. And God never met a person that he couldn't save. Oh, mine's too mean, preacher. You don't know my daddy. He's a mean man. You don't know my mama. She stooped in Catholicism or Lutheranism or some other ism. No, you don't know my God. My God knows how to humble a man. He knows how to get a man on his knees. I tell you what, I've seen God save people in these years that I've been out here on the road. I've seen God save people. And their relatives come up to me and say, I never thought they'd get saved. I said, you underestimated the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God can save all those that are sinners. There's a man in our church. He wasn't in our church this time. He was lost. And those kids came to our Christian school. The mom joined our church, and we let our church people come for free. And so we educated her children for her, and they got burned about their daddy being lost. And I went out there, and I'm telling you what, he'd tell me where to go. He'd told me where to cram it. He cussed me, told me never come back to his house, but I keep going back. In the process of time, we bought this big old bus. And this big bus was a retired Air Force bus. I didn't even know that. And this old man was a retired Air Force chauffeur. And he used to drive buses just like God gave our church. And he drove up one morning and said, where'd you get that bus? And I wanted to tell him, it ain't none of your business. And I told him it was given to us. And he said, I used to drive one just like it. I said, how would you like to drive that one? He said, man, I love it. I said, well, we got a field trip, a weeks-long field trip. Would you like to drive us to North Carolina? He said, yeah. I didn't tell him we was going to camp meeting. I didn't tell him we was going to Carl Lackey's, the meanest preacher in the South. I didn't tell him none of that. I called Betty Payne before we even left. I said, Betty, I got a lost man driving the church bus, and I know you have dormitories where you put people, and I know you have a special dormitory just for preachers. I want you to put this old boy in the preacher's dormitory. And I want you to tell every preacher that checks in that they got a devil in there. And she did, because this man testified later. He'd wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning hearing his name called out. Oh, God, save that wicked old sinner, God. We got to North Carolina. I said, turn right in here. We turned that church parking lot. He said, what are we doing in here? I said, this field trip. Morning services, night services, 3 meals a day. Lodging, you got it made. I said, you don't even have to come to church. We got you a bunk, and the food's free. So you just do whatever you want to do. But we'll be in church. Tuesday night came along. Here he came for some reason, came in and sat down. Brother Lackey's getting ready to call the first preacher, and I started praying. Oh, God, help him to call on somebody that's going to give the gospel. I mean a clear-cut salvation message. And he called on Jack Wood. And I said, Lord, Lackey's lost his mind. Jack calls us everything but what we are. He'll yell at us and scream, and he did. He was in rare form that night, put us down, yanked our faces off, threw us out in the gutter. Amen. And there was that old man. He had his arms crossed, a big frown on his face. He carried a cane with an 8-ball on top of it. Of course, Brother Wood carried guns. Amen. I thought, well, there's going to be a fight, but Wood's going to win. I went to the altar during the invitation. I started praying like this. Oh, God, move on him. Oh, God, he ain't moved. God, touch him. Lord, he still ain't moved. Please do something. Oh, God, I'm getting serious now. Help. I looked over one time, I saw a tear. I said, he's crying. I looked over again, tears. He was like this. I said, God, you got him. Get him here, get him here. And I felt somebody kneel down beside him. I looked, and there he was. I tell you, that old man got gloriously saved that night. I took off running. Back then, I could run, folks. I took off running around the building. I took about 2 or 3 laps, and I come around one time. He's out in the middle of it, and he just wrapped me up in his arms. He said, oh, Rick, he said, I need you to forgive me for all those times I cussed you, for all those times I was mean to you and kicked you out of my house. I said, Vern, you're forgiven. Let go of me. And I took off running again. Amen. That old man got on fire for God. He'd go from church to church. He he'd beg for people's clothes, that he'd take them to Mexico and give them to people who didn't have any clothes. He'd take Bibles, amen, and hide them and anything that he could to get them to Mexico. He's the first man that I know of ever to take the first printing press where they could actually print the gospel in Spanish to Monterrey, Mexico, to Brother Sonny Fritz. And he did all of that until he had a stroke. And finally was laid up in the hospital and a nursing home. But I was there with him the day he died. I was there and watched him as he come out of a coma. And when he'd come out, he'd just stare at a wall, white wall like this. There was nothing on it. I know he wasn't reading anything. There wasn't nothing there. One time he come over, he turned his neck, and I got between him and the wall. And I said, "Vern, Vern!" He'd stretch his neck back so he could look around. I don't know what he was seeing over there. Could have been angels waiting on him. It could have been the gates opening up. It could have been that water, amen, that he had to slip looking for a crossing point. But I tell you, at one time, he woke up, he looked over there, little smile on his face, went, and that was it. As in that room, I could feel, amen, the Spirit of God in that place. And God saved one of the meanest men I'd ever met in my life. God do that for that old feller. He knew that one of yours is so mean and contrary, amen, just nasty. God can do that for you. Amen. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, you are a piece of cake. God will save you that quick if you'll realize you're a sinner and come to Him this morning, amen, through faith and believing, God will save you. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't want no one leaving the service. If you walk any direction, you walk this way. I want to ask you this morning, is there one here? You say, "Preacher, if I died this morning, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. I can't remember a time when I trusted Jesus Christ. I might have said a little prayer at one time, but my life has never changed. And I'm bothered about it. And I'm burdened about it. And I want to be saved for real. I want Jesus Christ to come into my heart and live. I don't want to go to hell, preacher." Is there somebody like that this morning? You just lift your hand. Pray for me, preacher. If I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to hell. I mean, I'd go to heaven. Is there somebody? I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven if I died right now. Anybody in the audience, just lift up your hand and put it down. There's a little girl. Thank you. There's another little girl. Thank God for these little children. Because I know in time they'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Any teenager, any adult, "I don't know if I'm saved, preacher. If I died, I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me," anybody. All right, let me ask you that are saved these questions. God never made a promise that He couldn't keep. Is there a promise you need to claim from God? God never encountered a problem He couldn't solve. Every one of you raised your hand. You had problems this morning. How many of you have actually turned that thing completely over to God? Won't you come this morning and let God have it? Father, thank you, Lord, for the message and the help. Now bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's